Okay, as you all know, tomorrow is Tisha B'Av. I'm sure you're very excited. No Tachanun, right? I'm excited. There's no Tachanun tomorrow. Karolai Moed.
I'm more excited.
It's too bad it's not on a Monday or a Thursday, right? Then you really get a bonus. Okay, but it's... Now, I want to discuss with you some ideas relating to the Kinois. I was preparing the Kinois, and some ideas occurred to me. I want to share with you, and you'll tell me if they make any sense. Let me first discuss Kinuch Chav Vav. Kinuch Chav Vav is probably, you know, from my childhood in camp. They always had speakers. They would alternate the counselors. Every counselor took one kina and would explain to the campers what it means and say some drasha. So the two kinas that I always remember that the counselors spoke about was the kina of when Yirmiyah, let me go, Yirmiyah was told by, we'll see, that's the Kinuch of Zayin, the next kingdom, by the Malach, by this woman, the vision of a woman that looked like an almana dressed in black, to go to the Kivrei Avos, right, to go to the Ma'oros HaMachpelah, not only the Ma'oros HaMachpelah, but to the Kivrei Avos, and ask them to be mispalel for Klal Yisrael, to tell them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and their children are going to be exiled. And if you, Yirmiyah, and Klal Yisrael are unable to properly pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very least, tell the Avos what is happening, and they should be mispalel. It's a very fascinating idea, because it reveals to us that the Mason, even the Avos, are not even aware of what's happening in this world. And this really, this Kinuch Chav Vav is a Medrash. The Medrash there records it very differently than what it says in this Kinuch. But the basic gist of the Kinuch is, Yirmiyah, he goes to the Ma'oros HaMachpelah, and he cries out, I'll read you some of the words, V'nam, and he says, Atzamos Chavivais, Mo Atem Shoichvais. Beloved bones, very unusual way to describe the dead. Beloved bones, why are you lying still? Bneichem galu, your children have gone into exile. Uvateichem charevos, and their homes have been destroyed. And here are the very powerful words: Ve'ayei zuchus avos bi'eretz tal uvos. Where are the zuchus avos? In the land of drought. Now, I'm not going to focus on this idea of the land of drought. Land of drought refers simply to the Midbar. The Midbar is the place where they have gone into exile. They're traveling through the desert. And the desert, they are in a state of distress. Where are the Zuchus Avos? Now, we do know from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Tamu Zuchus Avos. The Zuchus Avos have come to an end. At a certain point, the Machlokes in the Gemara, exactly what point in history did the Zuchus Avos come to an end. And the Gemara there says, Tosfos there says, even though the Zuchus Avos have come to an end, we still have what's called Bris Avos. Okay, so what is the difference between Zuchus Avos and Bris Avos? That's not the topic I want to talk about, but there is such a concept. But Yirmiyah poses this very powerful question to the Avos: Where are the Zuchuyos? Where is the Zuchus Avos, the Eretz Talus? So the Kina goes on to say they all start to cry. They all start to cry, and we don't really have any detail of who's crying. A general description that they're all crying. And then the Kina focuses its attention to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe cries, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going out of order. First, Avraham cries. Avraham cries out and says, I was tested with the Asar Nisyonos, the 10 tests. Why don't you, Hashem, save my children in the Zuchus of the Asar Nisyonos? And Hashem says, it's very interesting when it says Nikina, it doesn't say this in the Medrash. The lot of Nikina that's not in the Medrash is that Zelu Mazeh, they were Mevatel the Aseres Hadibros. Zelu Mazeh, you were tested with 10 Nisyonos, but your children, your descendants, were Mevatel the Aseres Hadibros, so your Zuchusin have been cancelled.
No.
Been nullified. Okay, now Yitzchak cries. Now this is even more fascinating. Yitzchak says, Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, I offered myself as a sacrifice on Har HaMoriah. In that merit, save my children. So Hashem says, now this is really amazing, Hashem says, yeah, but they killed Zechariah. Your children nullified your act of allowing yourself to be offered as a sacrifice by sacrificing another person. You only offered yourself as a sacrifice. You were not actually sacrificed. Your descendants actually sacrificed a human being. Who? Zechariah. Zechariah ben Yehoyada was murdered by your children, the Beis Hamikdash. He was a Kohen, he was a Navi, he was a Shofet, it was Shabbos, it was Yom Kippur in the Beis Hamikdash. A terrible Avera. We know that the blood of Zechariah bubbled for 250 years until Nebuzaradan came and slaughtered 1,100,000 children until the blood stopped bubbling. So your act of courage of Mesiras Nefesh has been nullified. Okay, then we go to Yaakov. Yaakov Inu is Mispalo. Now it doesn't say Hashem does not respond to Yaakov. Yaakov is Mispalo, and there is no response. Then Moshe is Mispalo.
What's Yaakov's claim? What is he claim?
Yaakov claims that he raised his children. He raised his soch yulad beselef, the most kisan and zelef, olalai asher tipachti, my children which I have taken care of, I have raised, I have nurtured the elef to a state of exhaustion. The eich gozu many the chelef, how can they be taken away from me by a knife, by a butcher's knife? The eich hufra mimenu dam kama elef doesn't say his chos. He doesn't mention anything very specific. He just says that I've raised my children. Tsar Gidl Bonin. That's what it appears to be in the Zuchus of Tsar Gidl Bonin. I can't say more than that. Olalai Asher Tipachti. Tipachti means to nurture. Be'elef, to a point where I was exhausted. Tsar Gidl Bonin. Hashem does not respond. Next comes Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu says, my sheep, Tsoin Asher Bechiki, Hu Amon, I raised, I nursed in my bosom. How could they be cut off? No response. Leah is Mispalel. She beats on her heart. She cries. Doesn't say what she cries for. Now this is, to me, was always fascinating. Because there are two women in Tanakh that are very mysterious. Who are they? Bila and Zilpa. Do we know anything about them? They were the mother of some of the Shvatim. But do we ever find them doing anything? Do we ever find them active? And we don't find. Here in the Keen it says, the Zilpa Maka Ponea. She's a real person. She's hitting her face. She's doing something. We don't find her doing anything in Chumash. Nothing. Here, the Zilpa Maka Ponea. Bila Mikoinenes Bishte Yodecha. Bila is extending her two hands. There must be some deep significance in why they are doing this, what this means. This defines their essence of the way they are behaving at this critical moment in time. And then the Kinnik concludes, Shuvu Smimim Lim Nuchaschem, Mali Amali Kol Mishalosechem, Shalachti Bavel Limanchem. Hashem says, I'm also going with you to Golis, to Bavel, and do not worry, Hinani Mishayvev Golis Benechem. That's how the Kinnik concludes. From the Kina, it's Mashma. You look the Kina at face value, if you would not know any Medrash, you would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, indeed, He answers everyone. He answers Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Rachel, Leah, Bila, and Zilpa. Interesting that Sarah and Rivka are not part of the picture. It's interesting. Who are the players here in this kina? Hashem says, I'm going to answer you all. Hashem does not focus specifically on anyone. In fact, if you want to say that Hashem is going to answer the last ones to answer are Zilpa. Zilpa and Bila. They are the last ones that I mentioned at the end of the kina, not Rachel. The Medrash in Eicha makes it very clear that Hashem tells everyone no, and the only one that Hashem answers is Rachel, because Rachel gave the simanim to Leah that she should not be embarrassed, that she should also have an opportunity to marry Yaakov Avinu, and in the zuchus of giving this simanim that Leah should not be embarrassed, in that narrative, the Baruch Hu says, Rachel vaka bonecha, Hashem says, kol brama nishma, Hashem hears the voice of Rachel. Shuvu vanim shevam. You're going to return. Shuvu smim l'minchastim. You're going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. So, I think 99% of the darshanim who expound upon this kina, they assume as a davar pashut that this kina is just summarizing the medrash, and you have to understand and interpret this kina together with the medrash. Okay, that's fine. That's true, obviously, but I'm not really going that path now. But I think it's very likely that, like we said, they are conflicting midrashim, and this kina is not really going with that medrash. He's not making anything specific about Rachel, and he's not addressing Bil and Zilpah, and the kina is really telling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer everyone. Now, the only point that I want to make that I do find interesting is the question was never answered. The question was Ayei Zuchus Avos. The end of the kina, Hashem says, I will listen, I will answer. If we do take the medrash into consideration that Hashem listened in the zuchus of Rachel, that she gave the simonim to her sister Leah, what was that? That is the answer. That is the zuchus. Now, what do I mean by this? That is the zuchus. It was an act of chesed. What did Rachel do? Rachel gave simonim to Leah. She gave the simonim as an act of kindness that Leah should not be embarrassed. She did an act of kindness. The acts of kindness are the zuchusim of the avos. In other words, when you talk about the avos, what are zuchusim? Person can be a tzaddik, can be isolated, can be in a state of espiritus and daven the whole day and learn the whole day, and these are very great things. But are these things which are going to serve for generations that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to act upon them to save us? Every day in Shemoneh Esrei, what do we say? V'zoicher chastei avos. Hashem remembers the kindness, the chesed of the avos. We don't say v'zoicher the zuchus avos, because the greatest zuchus of the avos are the acts of kindness, of the chastei avos. Now, the classic example to prove this point is we have Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Avraham is the midah of chesed. Yitzchak is the midah of avoda, davening, serving Hashem. Yaakov is the midah of emes, of Torah. And how do we conclude the Shemoneh Esrei? Baruch Ato Hashem, b'choch chayisin. We conclude with Avraham. We conclude Mogein Avraham. Who is Avraham? Chesed. We need all three. We need chesed, avoda, Torah. But the zuchus avos that carries us into the future is Avraham, is Mogen Avraham, which is the chesed, is the acts of kindness. That idea really is captured in this kina, at least according to the Medrash. The kina starts out with a question. The ayei zuchus avos. And the answer is Rachel. What did Rachel do? Rachel did an act of kindness. She gave the simonim to her sister Leah. She did an act of kindness. That act of kindness is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted to say, Male amale kol mishalo seichem. So the answer to the question of Ayei Zuchus Avos is the Chaste Avos. And that idea is brought out in our davening when we say v'zocher chasdei avos, and as we conclude the Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Ato Hashem Mogein Avraham, Avraham, not Mogein Yitzchak, Mogein Yaakov, Chesed. And that's a very powerful Musar Haskel for us, is that, you know, we can learn, we can daven, but you also have to do something. You also have to go the extra step in doing Chesed. People unfortunately lose Chesed, leave it to someone else. You know, I daven, I learn, I go to shiurim. It's a very important thing to participate in acts of kindness in society. That is the ultimate zuchus avos that will last for generations and serve as a mogin for Klal Yisrael into future generations. Okay, that's one idea. All right, I want to go to another. What? you can't say more. You need it also. You need it also in order to get the clinch, in order to get, if there's no Torah, there'll be no chesed. That we know for a fact. If there's no Torah, the chesed just disappears. Torah inspires chesed. But don't fall short. There's a danger of being involved. You go, people go to shiurim all the time, and you're involved in davening, you're learning. This also chesed. You got to do something. You just can't sit back and do nothing. If someone needs your help, there's something called chesed. And that is what we learned from this kina, ayei zuchus avos. And the answer is, you know what the zuchus avos is? It's not in the Torah. It's not in the avoda. It's in the chesed. The zeicher chasdei avos. That's where you'll find the zuchus avos. It's a small point, but I think there's something very deep here. Okay, I'm going to go to another idea. Now, the other idea, I always found this bizarre, and yesterday something occurred to me. The next kina is kina chaf zayin. Kina chaf zayin is a famous kina. Begins with Yirmiyah coming in contact with a creature. I'll read you what it says. Oz bimloy sefek yofa kisirt. So it was at that time when the measure of sin was full. For who? For Klal Yisrael, that is called, described with the term Yofa Kisirtza, beautiful as Sirtza. What is Sirtza? I don't even know what Sirtza is. It's it's the name of a place. It's the name of a place, it says here. It's the name of a place. Okay, it's a beautiful place, and Klal Yisrael, they're beautiful like Sirtza. And when their sin was, when the measure of their sin was full, Hashem had no choice but to bring upon Klal Yisrael Churban. What happened? Hein er elam tzuaku chutza. The malachim were crying. The malachim were crying outside Yerushalayim. And what happened? Ben chilkiyahu me armon kiyotza. Yirmiyahu hanavi, he was leaving Yerushalayim. And he came in contact with one of these malachim. What did the malach look like? Isha yifas toyar minuveles matzah. On the one hand, she was a yifas, a beautiful woman. But on the other hand, minuveles, she was filthy dirty. Yirmiyah came across this woman. She looked like a human being. She appeared to have a beautiful form, but she was filthy. Yirmiyah was frightened. He was not sure, is this woman a human being? Or maybe this is a demon, a shade. So he said to this creature, Gozrani Olecha, I decree upon you, B'Shem Elokim V'Adam, in the name of Hashem and man, Im Shade La Shadim At Ol Ivnei Adam. Tell me, are you human? Are you a human being? Fill in the capture, right? Enter the capture. Are you a human being or are you a demon? On the one hand, you look beautiful like a basar v'dam. However, your panim, pachdech v'yirasech kimalachim levadam, the terror and the awe that you inspire, that you induce, appears like a malach. So this woman answers, I'm none of the above. I'm not a demon. I'm not a person. I am Yerushalayim. I am Tzion. I am the Shechina. You are witnessing, you see in front of you the Shechina personified as a Malach. I am the Shechina. I am your mother Tzion. And now she goes on to say something which is very bizarre. And I always wondered about this, and I'm sure you did as well. Yudu ha'yisi b'shuva v'nachas. I used to be resting in Yerushalayim in a state of peace and tranquility. And here she goes. Hein le'echad, ani, I was one. V'lishloisha, I was three. V'shishim v'achas, I was 60 and one. U'lishnei mosar, I was 12. U'lishim v'achas, and I was 71. She starts giving numbers. I am associated with 1, 3, 61, 12, and 71. And then she goes on to explain. You probably, what are these numbers mean? Zeh Echad Avraham. Number one refers to Avraham. He was the first of the Avos, the first one to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvein HaShalei Shavos Shelishia. I represent the triad, the Shlesh Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I am, the Shnei Masor represent, she skips around. Okay, that's also very interesting why she does that. She skips, she goes from 1 to 3, the next numbers in the original list was 61, but she jumps to the number 12, I'm 12, those are the Shiftei Ka. The 60 represent the Shishim Rebo, 600,000. 60 times 10,000. Rebo means 10,000. 60 times 10,000. And the Shin, the Echad, are the members of the Sanhedrin. Now, it's also very bizarre. I don't really have a good answer. Mepharshim are very troubled with this. What happened to the Va'achas? The Shishim Va'achas. When she explains all the numbers, there is one number that she leaves out. She leaves out the number one. It says in the original list, Shishim Ve'achas, 61. And when she enumerates the list and she explains, she does not tell us what the Ve'achas is. So here in the art scroll, it says the Achas is Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though she never explained, Moshe Rabbeinu was Oymid Al Gabehem. Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of the 60. Of the 60 multiplied by 10,000, the 600,000 Jews, Moshe was Omid al Gabeim. I saw in another perush that the Achas means that ki ish echad b'lev echad. It's just coming to explain what it means 60. There's 60, which refers to the Shishim Riboy, but Klal Yisrael are all unified ki ish echad b'lev echad. There is Achdus among Klal Yisrael. This is how I was. Okay, then she goes on to say, I'm bitter, I'm extremely bitter that my children have been exiled, and that's why I look the way I do. I look, I'm in a state of pachad and yira. And then she goes on, and she goes on to say that, I can't have any simcha, my children have been exiled, my nevim have been killed, my kings have been exiled, my Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. She goes on with different expressions to describe her pitiful state. And then for the remainder of the kina, which is a significant amount, she begs Yirmiyah with every expression under the sun, do something about this. Don't just stand here listening to me. Do something. Be mispalel. Cry. She says, Sach leiloi kecha ba'adnaka so'ara aniya. Pray. Sach means to speak. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't take no for an answer. And ya'anek hel v'yom adayon till Hashem answers you and says enough. And then she goes for him, just jumping around. Pilel techina lifnei kono. Pray. Another expression. And she elaborates. Then she says, tzoak, cry out. Mala of sheheg lebino. What do you have out of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you have exiled your children? Then she goes, Kumloch Yirmiyah, Lamasach Hashem, why are you quiet? This desperate plea to Yirmiyah to do something, to pray. And she is using every expression she can find to tell Yirmiyah, pray. Sach, Pilel, Tzoak, don't be silent. In other words, not more words, Lech Kira, call out. Le'ovos, Aharon Moshe. She goes on to explain more. Tinu kol bivchi, give forth your voice and cry in weeping. Avos hatzvi. And then she says, why don't you go, if you don't know what to do, why don't you go to the Ma'aretz Machpelah, go to the Avos. And in fact, that's why many commentators tell us that the kinos are in reverse order. Really, it should be this kina comes first, and then should come the kina before, after Yirmiyah was told by this Shechina to go be mispalel. Yirmiyah listens and he goes to the Ma'aretz Machpelah and he cries out to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, and to Rachel V'Leah, the Liva Zilpa. He cries out to them, he listens to what the Shechina tells him to do, and he says, Ayei Zuchus Kedusei V'ris, just like the Shechina told him to do. Why a woman? The mother, there is a posse that says that the Shechina is in the feminine form. It's like a mother. Like a mother gives you comfort. there's a loving nature of the Shechina, which is identified more with the feminine personality than the male. The male is harsh. Okay, so something occurred to me to explain what's going on in this Kina. What's the connection between the beginning of the Kina and the Kina? Now, it's not really my style. I'm not into gematrias, but I added up all the numbers. The Shechina says to Yirmiyah, I'm 1, I'm 3, I'm 60, the Achas, that's 1, I'm 12, I'm 70, and I'm 1. When you add up all the numbers, what do you get? Anyone want to add up the numbers? Make sure I'm not pulling anything over your head. 3, I'm 1 Av Avraham.
Getting
148. Okay, so see, he said, don't blame me. 148, 1 Avraham, 3, the Shlosh Avos, Avram is on Yaakov, that's 4, Shishim, 60, the Achas,
what's the Shishim
for? 60, Shishim Riba, 60 Riba, 60 Riba, which 60 multiplied by 10,000, but 60, that's the number that Nidanj gives, the Achas, and 1, which means 1, that either Moshe or the 60 is unified into 1, Ulishneim also 12, Ulishivim, 70, the Achas, 71, there are 71 members of the Sanhedrin, for a grand total of 148. Now the number 148 is a very significant number in Judaism. Why? Why is it a significant number? Because it is the gematria of Pesach.
What?
Pesach. Pei Samaches is 148. Now we do know very well that Tisha B'Av is very much associated with Pesach. Right? We know that the first night of Pesach, it's part of the Simon Atbash. Atbash, the first night of Pesach, is the same night in which Pesach will fall. There's a relationship between, we have to eat some, have a custom to eat eggs in the first night of Pesach to remind us that there's going to be the Avelis, because the Yitzias Mitzrayim was not the conclusion of the Geula, it was just part of the process, which will have to come with a painful experience of Chorban until we come to the ultimate Geula. There's obviously a very strong relationship, as Rabbi Michal mentioned, Bitzesi Mi Mitzrayim, Bitzesi Mi Rishalayim. This theme is worked up very much. But what is this theme all about? And here we have the number Pesach. Now there's another idea. This is, I think, a moral idea. Rav Michal, you correct me if I'm mistaken. What does the word Pesach mean? Why did the Torah choose the word Pesach? Pesach comes from the word Pesoch. The mouth speaks. The moral says this?
Yeah.
What?
Everyone.
See, I think it's better. Everyone says this. Pesach, the mouth speaks. And that defines the essence of the Yom Tov of Pesach. V'higadta levincha bayoim hahu lemar ba'avur zeh. You shall speak to your children. You shall relate to your children the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Klal Yisrael only merited to leave Mitzrayim by Yizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem min ho'avoda. They cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to come to Matan Torah to receive the Torah. The Torah is the Devar Hashem, the Word of Hashem. There's this concept, this mystical concept called that the Dibur was in Galus, right? That's already a little bit off the charts. The Dibur was in Galus. This concept of communication. Yitzias Mitzrayim enabled Klal Yisrael to communicate. There was a communication, Pesach. Our mouths were open to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the process of Geula. It's exactly what this woman that's personifying the Shechina is telling Yirmiyah. I used to be Pesach. I used to represent Klal Yisrael where there was a communication between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pesach. And now what has happened? Golus. My children are in exile. The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed. My kings have been exiled. My Nevim have been killed. Use the Koyach HaDibur. She desperately pleads with Yirmiyah every expression possible. Sach Leilokecha. Speak, Pesach, Sach, Ad Ya'aneh, Pilel Techina, Tzoak, Kum Lachim, Lama Sechesha, why are you silent? Kerola Avos, Shoye Koya Yirmiyah, he roared, he listened to her. Tenu Kol, give forth, This is the connection between the beginning of the kina and the end of the kina. She provides Yirmiya with a simin of Klal Yisrael in terms of numbers which equal Pesach. This Madrega, this gift of being able to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Beis Hamilish. That's what the Beis Hamilish is. It's a base to feel the L'chol Ha'amim. It's a place where the world communicates with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, has been lost. And the only way to get this back is to make the most that you can with your peh to communicate once again with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's an idea that I think fits, explains to some degree this kina. Okay, I want to give you one more quick idea. One more quick idea, the kina of Sha'ali Sirufa Beish. Okay, it's a short idea, very quick, which really, really captures not just Sha'ali Sirufa, but it really captures the all the kinos. Because all the kinos, Sha'ali Sirufa Beish is kina Mem Aleph. It discussed an event which took place 771 years ago, when in the year 1242, the church collected 24 wagons of Talmud, not really Sefer Torah, it was more Talmud, and they put it in front of a cathedral in Paris, and they ignited the wagons, they burned the Talmud. This was 200 years before the invention of the printing press. These were handwritten manuscripts. There were 1,200 handwritten manuscripts of extreme value for Klal Yisrael, and it was a very great tragedy. And the Maharal Mehrenberg was present. He was only 22 years at the time, a young man, and he, at some point in his life, composed this kina called Sha'ali Sirufa Be'esh, which he mourns for the loss, the Sreifas HaTorah. And throughout the ages, it's not the only time the Torah has been burnt. Talmud has been burnt. The Nazis are very into this. The Nazis used to make films, propaganda. In fact, the famous yeshiva of Lublin, of Meir Shapiro, he had a very beautiful library in his yeshiva in of Meir Shapiro, and the Nazis, they burnt the library, and they forced all of the Talmidim to sing and clap as the sermon were burnt. It was filmed, and it was shown all over Germany, this horror of what the Nazis were doing to the library of Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi. But what is the significance now when we talk about the burning of the Talmud? The burning of the Talmud. There is a very, very famous story which ties into the Asar Yemalchus with Rabbi Hananya ben Tradi. Rabbi Hananya, this is, by the way, pretty much the last kina. It's not the last kina mamish. There are a few more tzions, but many people at this point, adkan. they wind down the end of the kinos of Shalit. Why is this the end of the kinos? Do we conclude with the kina that describes the Sreifas HaTalmud? Another question. Why are all of the kinos wrapped up in the letters of the Aleph Beis? Well, every single kina, there's some system of Aleph Beis incorporated into the order, whether it's an order, whether it's a triplicate, whether it's backwards, it's Adbash, or whether you're matching one letter with a letter in the middle of the Aleph Beis. There are many different systems of how to match up the letters of the Aleph Beis. Why do we desperately try to incorporate the letters of the Aleph Beis into the kinos? Okay, so you could say it's for poetic purposes, you could say it's because the letters of the Aleph Beis, it's a memory, mnemonic, there are many different, right, there are many different approaches, but I want to just give one approach which really covers all of these ideas together. The Gemara tells us that Rav Hananya ben Tradin was executed. They took him, the Romans took him, and they wrapped him in a Sefer Torah, and they ignited him. His daughter comes and says, "Father, woe to me that I see what they're doing to you. How could it be that they're taking you and they're torturing you and they're wrapping you up in the Sefer Torah?" So he says, tells his daughter something very powerful. He says, "If they were only burning me, I would be worried. It would be a problem. There would be something to worry about. But now that I see that they're burning me together with the Sefer Torah," and he goes on to say that he sees his daughter Issam, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see the Oisios Parchos Ba'avir, the letters are flying in the air, the parchment is burning, but the Kedush of the Oisios are flying in the air, they're not harmed. If it was only meat that they were burning, I would be frightened. But they're burning meat together with a Sefer Torah. And therefore, I can be have comfort in knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will one day come to seek the insult of the Torah, Mi Sheyavo V'Yavakesh El Boina Shel Torah, the insult to the Torah, will come one day and take revenge for me as well. I'm being burnt together with the Sefer Torah. When we go to the Kinos, the entire state of Kinos, by and large, it's all about us. It's about us. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Jews were persecuted. We suffered in this country, we suffered in that country. There was the First Crusade. And there was every type of gullus that we can imagine. It's all about us. You know, maybe we're just not worthy. Maybe we just don't deserve better. Maybe we should worry. We can say kinnis all we want, but we have to come to the realization that we're not where we should be holding, and that's the way it is. But we come to the end of the kinnis, we devote one kinnis to the Sreifas HaTalmud, to make a statement, and to reassure ourselves as Nechama. If it was only about us, indeed, there would be what to worry about. But the Goyim who persecuted us throughout Golus, 2,000 years of Golus, they didn't just try to destroy us. They tried to destroy the Sefer Torah together with us. They wrapped us up in the Sefer Torah and burned us. That's what Golus is all about. And therefore, the last kina is for us. We should have nechama that the one that will come and seek the insult of the Torah will come and seek to avenge the insult that has been brought upon us. Take revenge for us. And it's for that reason every kina is wrapped up in the osios of the Aleph Beis. Because all of the osios of the Aleph Beis represent the concept of Aleph Bina, Torah. The kina is not just about us. It's about the Kedusha of Torah that we represent. And when the Goyim try to destroy us, they're trying to destroy the Torah. And the Torah stands on its own. And Hashem will certainly come to avenge the disgrace, the insult of the Torah. And being that we're wrapped up with the Torah, we can be certain and we can have nechama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and take revenge and come save us and take revenge for the insult that has been brought upon us. That is perhaps an idea of why we conclude with Shalish of Beish and why all of the kinos are wrapped up in the letters of the Aleph Beis. Okay, may you all have an easy fast and a very meaningful Tisha B'Av. And the Mirtz Hashem will be back, I guess, Wednesday morning at 9:30. Take care.
You too. Fast,